Okay, we're continuing in Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, and we finished paragraph Tes Zayin, if I'm not mistaken. We were rushing to finish it. We did the analogy with the forest and the trees, that you can't, using the expression, you can't see the forest for the trees. We explained that the trees are like all the mitzvahs and all the different details of the mitzvahs, as mitzvahs are, according to the Zohar, called eitzes, advice, and eitz is a tree. So there's so many details to mitzvah observance that what happens is that people lose track of what the mitzvahs are all about. Besides the details of the actual mitzvahs that we're doing, each mitzvah has a goal to bring us close to Hashem, and we get caught up in the details, and we're not focused on the goal of the mitzvah, which is getting close to Hashem. So, and we said that this is a problem regarding so many areas of our lives today, in Jewish education and in shuls, and where people are only talking about the trees and they're not looking at the forest anymore. If you recall, there was this old joke that they always said, you know, that a new rabbi comes to the city, and he tells the president, you know, I think this Shabbos, my first Shabbos, I'm going to talk about kosher. He says, Rabbi, you shouldn't do that. You know, there's people in the community who don't keep kosher. They'll be offended. He says, okay. All right, how about if I talk about Shabbos? He says, Rabbi, he says, people here don't keep Shabbos. They're going to get offended. He says, how about family purity? Oh, no, you don't want to talk about that, Rabbi. So the rabbi says, so what should I talk about? So the president says, what do you mean? You talk about Judaism, right? Talk about Judaism. So the truth of the matter is, that to a certain degree we've come full circle, because now, you know, Baruch Hashem, in many shuls, rabbis are allowed to talk about mitzvahs, but they're not allowed to talk about Judaism. You're not allowed to talk about the forest. You're not allowed to talk about the goal of Judaism. You go to the quote unquote the Orthodox shuls. If the rabbi's going to really talk about Yiddishkeit and the forest and getting close to Hashem, people don't want to hear that. They'd rather tell me how to put on tefillin, tell me how to do this, but I don't want to know what commitment that really means and what I'm really supposed to be thinking about, because I'd rather just do it as a robotic Jew, and I don't want to really give my life to Hashem. And that's really a big issue. So that's what the tzaddik is saying over here, is what part of the problem is. We're getting lost in this forest of mitzvah observance. We're worried about higher standards of kashrus and all these things, but really this isn't what's making us closer to Hashem, and that's a major problem. And even the Baal Tshuva, a lot of times they're not getting far enough to understand this idea of getting closer to Hashem. They understand to do mitzvahs, and they're missing this next point of getting closer to Hashem. And if they would, they wouldn't suffer from plateauing in their Yiddishkeit and then turning sour in their Yiddishkeit and becoming like your average Orthodox Jew, which is really a big problem. It's interesting, the Sfas Emes in Parshas Toldos, he explains the concept of the Be'eros, the wells. We mentioned it a little bit last year. What's the idea of the patriarchs always digging wells? Isn't it very unique? Like, what a detail to talk about. That they're digging wells. So they dug wells. I mean, listen, you do a lot of things. But why would the Torah have to talk about that idea? So, Sfas Emes says that digging wells, I'm sure they did on a physical level, but they were doing it in a spiritual vein as well. You know, digging, what does digging represent? Digging represents there's something beneath the surface that you're looking for. Right? You look at a plot of land, and they say, what do you see there? I see a plot of land. But the person who's digging a well, especially he's looking for a spring, understands there is water under this earth. Right? As we know, the word Rokah Haaretz Al Hamayim, God suspends the earth on the water. So the inside of the earth has a lot of water. You just have to find it. So it looks to be dry, arid, parched, desert land, which Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov lived on. But they know if you dig deep enough, you will find water. That's the idea. That's what a well is, digging beneath the surface to find what's really there. So So that they did on a physical level, but that only was paralleling what they were doing on a spiritual level, because they knew that when you look at this world, you look at this world on the surface, it looks very physical. But they knew that there was a godly spark that was driving everything that was there. And they knew if you dig deep enough into every area of physicality, you will find that Be'er Mayim Chaim, that spring of living water. You will find that Nekuda Pnimis, that inner core of spiritual root to this existence. It goes on and explains all the names of the wells and things like that. And then he explains that, every Jewish people, you know, who takes himself to the service of Hashem, he could dig deeper, and you use the tools of Avram, of love and yearning to get close to Hashem. And if you really love, that's what Avram did. He dug wells. If you really love Hashem, you're going to dig deeper.
Which Torah is that?
You're going to look. Tafer Islamic Gimel. And he was looking and looking and looking. Because he loved. Since he loved, you look. Right? And, where did I go over here? But then it says that the Plishtim plugged up the wells. Right? So what does that mean? Plugging up, that means the loving of Gashmis, the loving of physicality that gets mixed up in man. And you go and fill in what you uncovered. You fill it in with the pursuits of this physical world. Right? And therefore Yitzchak had to redig it, because Yitzchak represents Yirat Shamayim, fear of God. Right? So through that fear of God, he was able to redig those wells. That really was going on over here. Right? So that's what you find in this world as well. In other words, they went to the worst places. He went to the Plishtim. Yeah, these were terrible areas. Ugh, there's no Kedusha here. You dig deep enough, you'll find Kedusha. You dig deep enough, you'll find Kedusha. You can find homes. You can find that area, the root to everything here. And that was the whole avod of the patriarchs. They lived in a world that was 99.9% externally polluted. Right? And they had to dig, where am I going to find the good? Where am I going to find the godliness and things? And that was really what they were all about. Now, the Zohar says that nowadays, okay, we don't have any wells. So what replaces the wells? Any guesses? Close. He says that the mitzvahs, that is in the power of every Jew to do, such as tzitzis and tefillin, etc., they are comparable to the wells. Why? Because Hashem gave a spiritual life into every physical aspect of this world. And through the mitzvahs, right, you can make them spiritual, can bring out godliness in them, and there isn't anything in this world that really can't be used in terms of a mitzvah. Everything in this world can be used as a mitzvah. Even money, which is such a terrible thing, can be used for tzedakah. Right? You could use anything. You could use this table for, when you look at this table, what's this table? Use this table for one thing, to hold sidurim, to hold chumashim, to hold svarim. That's what this table is for. That's why God created this table, for no other reason. Other people may play cards on it, but we don't. We use it for a holy purpose. Everything in your house, you know, as we said in the Chovos HaLevavos, there isn't one action in this world that isn't either a mitzvah or an avera. There's no such thing as a power of action. So whatever, you have a phone. The phone is for mitzvahs. Call up someone, I have a shidduch for you. Right? The computer is to email mitzvahs. Right? To email, say tehillim for somebody. Everything in this world can be used and is meant to be used for a mitzvah. And when you do that, you extract the spiritual spark from those things that are really driving and making this thing happen. Right? But you've got to work hard to do that. Right? It's all hidden. That spiritual light is hidden. But it can be, even in physical actions, it can be removed. And there he says, the truth is, through hard effort, everyone can find the truth of that reality of why this thing was created in everything that's in this world. And then he brings down the Medrash that talks about the mashal of a king who had all kinds of secret treasures, right? And people were rebelling, and eventually, you know, the whole idea was that people would be able to find the things that he hid, the secret treasures that he hid. So the same thing, Hashem is, you know, he's got secret treasures, and they're all over the place, right? And he made beautiful treasures, and we're able to get them if we know how to find them. By doing mitzvahs, you'll unearth those beautiful treasures that Hashem makes. So all of us are meant to be diggers. All of us are meant to be looking for wells. And the wells aren't that far away. They're right in front of ourselves. So that's the same idea over here, because that's the goal. That's the goal of the Avos. They understood the goal. The goal of this world was to find Hashem in this world. And they could do it without any commandments per se. Right? So we need the commandments, but it's not limited to commandments. But the point is, every mitzvah you do, it's a well to be able to uncover and unearth HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spark of holiness that makes everything happen. So that's what the tzaddik is talking over here, the issues that we have to deal with in terms of people getting lost in the trees and not seeing the forest. Right? Yeah, it's the effort. That's the effort. Yeah, but you're digging to get to the bottom of it, to get to the root. So the root of mitzvah is to get close to Hashem.
But like, if you didn't have the dig, just
the mitzvahs were there, then you'd be an olam haba. If you didn't have to dig, you'd be an olam haba. When you're not Hashem's olam haba, there's nothing to dig. It's there, right here. You're looking at a world that, you know, where are you going to find it? You got to look for it. You got to take a piece of leather straps and ink and parchment and make tefillin out of it. Right? You know, when a tzaddik looks at a cow, he's looking at tefillin. You see? When he looks at a cow, he's looking at tefillin. He's not. And you ask a goyish Texan, he's looking at the biggest rib steaks he's ever eaten, all you can eat rib steak, when he sees a cow. A tzaddik sees tefillin when he looks at a cow. Well, you know, when he looks at sheep and he looks at flax, he sees the mitzvah of shatness. You shouldn't mix wool and linen. That's the way they're looking at the world. That's where all there is to see in a world. Right? Tzaddik looks at his wife, he says, this is the object of my chesed to make me godly. He asks a prostagoy, he says, this is my trophy wife. Right? That's how you look at everything in this world. And that's how you're able to find a Kodesh Baruch Hu in your world. Okay, let's continue now. So that was Tes Zayin 16, which was entitled Can't See the Forest for the Trees. So now we move on to Yud Zayin. So now he gets very brutal. This is like a real brutal paragraph here. So let's take an example from one mitzvah of the Torah. Okay? Now we understand what should be happening. Tivas adam v'talus. A person's wrapping himself up in a talus. Okay? It's applicable to most people in the room here. Adam kamba baiker. Person gets up in the morning. V'haylech l'beis ha'knesses. He comes to shul. U'misativ v'talus. And he puts a talus on. Hareya adam mekayim ata mitzvah sasei deraisa. You are fulfilling a biblical positive mitzvah when you put a talus on every morning. So now, question. What is the thought of the person at the moment that he puts the talus on? What are you thinking of when you're putting the talus on? So, a little caustically he says, cynically rather, really the first question isn't what is he thinking, but is he thinking? Right? Is he thinking? Or maybe his actions are done practically without any thought. Why do you say practically? Why don't you say without any? So in the brackets he says, klomer machshava iunis. Probably there's no intellectual thought. Ulam machshava maisis, but the thought that you're doing an action, bavada sheesh. Certainly you have. In other words, at least he's thinking, okay, put on talus. That's thought process. Pick up head, touch talus, place talus on head. You know, I don't know. I wouldn't give that much credit to say that that's considered thinking. I think it's even automatic. But anyway, but the question is, are we thinking or are we not even thinking at all? He's kind of hinting that we really aren't thinking, so that's a problem. But let's assume that the guy is thinking. Okay. Okay, so what is he thinking when he's putting on the talus? Okay, so what are you thinking of? If he has the right thought, lechora would appear that machshav to tzrichel is kedal. You'd think the thought should be the following. Kivet shekaimelin b'doraisa. shemitzvah sichas kavana. Since we paskin that mitzvahs have to have thought, there's a machlokas in the Gemara. When you do a mitzvah, do you have to have kavana when you're doing the mitzvah or not? When you're blowing a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, what if you just pick up a shofar and you didn't, and you figured, you know, I'd like to practice. And he happens to blow exactly 100 notes the way they're supposed to be. And they say, oh, that was so good, you know, you could have been yoytzei the mitzvah with that. It's okay, so let me. So the machlokas in the Gemara, because what was lacking? What was lacking was kavana. He intended to fulfill the mitzvah, but the truth is he did do the mitzvah. He can't say he didn't blow the shofar 100 times. He didn't make a bracha. Bracha is not critical to doing the mitzvah. So he did the mitzvah. So machlokas in the Gemara. So we paskin that for a biblical mitzvah, it has to have kavana. It has to have kavana. So therefore, im kein, ala adam lechavin, shibatifoso betalis mekayim mitzvah sederaisa. So a person should have in mind that when he is putting on his talis, he should have in mind that he is fulfilling a mitzvah sasei deraisa. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Right? Now, and that is, for those who bother with that, when they put on talis, you have that whole yihi ratzon beforehand, you know, of putting on the tzitzis. Oh, there's the tzitzis here, and the talis. The whole Shem Yichud over here. The Shem Yichud should be for the unification of the name of the Shechina and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and, you know, and with great fear and with great mercy to unify, you know, God with the Jewish people. Behold, I'm putting on to my body my tzitzis, and so too should my soul should be enwrapped in my 248 and 365 body parts with the light of the tzitzis that comes out to 613. And just like I cover myself with talis in this world, so I should merit that I should be covered under the spiritual talis in the world to come in Gan Eden. And through this mitzvah tzitzis, my soul should be saved, and my prayer from all kinds of external disruptions. The whole thing. Right? There's those who say it before they put on their talis. So it should help me understand what I'm doing. Now, if you don't say this, it's also fine, right? But that's what you should be doing. Yeah?
But the actual brocha, you're always saying that you're doing it to
Mizpah. Fine. It's also true. Yeah. But you're just saying a brocha.
But it's a commandment of
brocha. Yeah, you're right. I'm not arguing that. That's true. You're making a brocha. You're saying the same thing, right? Although it's a much longer prayer, it elaborates. But either way, so you've done it. So you should be thinking that you're doing a mitzvah sei deraisa. So you could be thinking it when you're making the bracha too. That's true. When you're making the bracha, you think that too. Here's the problem. Okay, nisbayin b'davar. So let's think about this. Hari Hazor HaKadosh, the Zohar that we already mentioned, Kosov, said Taryag mitzvahs heim Taryag etzos keisad liskarif labari. The 613 mitzvahs are 613 pieces of advice of how to get close to Hashem. So if that's the case, if so, kiven shadam isate batalis yom yom, since a person puts a talis on every single day, shavua, week after week, zeshonim rabbis, it's been so many years he's been doing it. Right? Take your typical Orthodox Jew, who since he got married is putting on a talis, since age 22, 23, he's putting on a talis. And now he's 65. So he's been putting out a talis. Let's figure out the math. 40 years. 40 times 365 is approximately 12,500 times.
13,000.
He's put on a talis 12,500 times. I'm going to forget about talking about putting on tzitzis. 12,500 times. That's a lot of times to put on tzitzis, wouldn't you say? Now, according to the Zohar, what's the mitzvah supposed to do? It's supposed to get you close to God, right? Right? So let's keep reading. Zeshan Rabbis, it's a lot of years. So the question is, Yukematua einhu margish eskiris Hashem, shoyshet shvich alohai voleid bo, mirov kia mitzvahs atifas patalis. So how come, after 12,500 times, this guy does not feel a genuine closeness to Hashem that should have been spawned from these abundant times of fulfilling the mitzvah of putting on tzitzis, talis? Why doesn't he feel any closer? What happened? It's the same guy. He's 65 years old. still likes the World Series more than anything else. You know, and, you know, really, extra minute to learn Torah, he's not interested. He has no time to learn Torah. But he's putting on a talis every day. Every day. He should be making him closer to God.
He also happens to be the average guy in Bnei Brak.
Right? It could be the average guy in Bnei Brak, too. I'm not denying anybody. All right? Hare Divrei HaZohar HaKadosh Divrei Yamis Edvar Mitziyusim. Now let's look at that Zohar. When the Zohar says it, it's not just a cute saying, that 613 piece of advice. This is the truth. This is reality. It's guaranteed. If the Zohar says that a mitzvah is a piece of advice to connect you to Hashem, it is so. There's nothing to debate. Him Kane, if that's the case, it should be that every person who at least has this intention. Now, if you don't have this intention, forget it. If you didn't have the intention of putting on talis for the mitzvah of talis, then you don't get the mitzvah. It's as if it didn't happen, and then there's no fault in the mitzvah not accomplishing the goal because you haven't really done the mitzvah. But you were saying you did do the mitzvah. So every day you were thinking of doing a mitzvah. That's biblical, when you put on the talis. So la'at laso, slowly. B'chol yom, every day, yichush yosher, as kivis Hashem b'libo, shouldn't he be feeling the closeness to Hashem in his heart? Every day, a little more. Should feel that. So the question is, madu anu roim shalo rabim zoch la'idei atifasam b'talis yom yom l'kivis Hashem mu'choshis. So, but why is it that we see that not very many people have merited that through the putting on of a talis every day that they get any closer in a real physical way? How come we don't see it?
How would we see it?
That's what the book's going to talk about. How would we see it? You'd be singing Tashem every day.
Yeah, but how would we see that somebody else is closer
to Tashem? You know what you'd see? You wouldn't see guys running out from davening. You wouldn't see guys rushing through their davening. You wouldn't see guys talking in shul. There's so many things. What are you asking? How would you see it? You see people with more bitachon than Hashem. They'd be giving more tzedakah. I mean, it's so obvious how you'd see it. They'd always be talking about Hashem. When you're at a kiddush, if a person's close to Hashem, and unless he's doing kiruv, which unfortunately most people in shul aren't doing during kiddush, right? So, you know, what a person during kiddush, he'd be talking about the rabbis at drush. He'd be playing over his Dvar Torah. He'd be plotting to do a mitzvah with that person. Right? Well, what do you talk about? You talk about everything but that. Talk about business. Would a person like that talk business on Shabbos? Would he talk about the World Series on Shabbos? No. You can see, you know, where are you at? Right? Well, you wouldn't be talking Lashon Hara. I mean, it's not hard to tell if somebody's close to Hashem or not. You could tell. Look at that person for 20 minutes. You could tell right away if that person is close to Hashem or not. If you talk to a person for a half an hour and you don't hear the word Hashem in his mouth in a half an hour, he ain't close to Hashem. That's not possible. He at least should have said, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, I was able to do this. And with Hashem's help, I'll do that. That is already a giveaway, not a guarantee, but a giveaway. But if a half hour goes by and he's talking, I'm not talking about in the boardroom, even in a boardroom, to Goyim, he's saying, God willing, the plan will succeed. You know, okay, Schwartz, what's your report for the coming year? Well, thank God. Thank God we had a lot of success this year. Then he could go into the brutal numbers. Right? But start off, thank God we had a lot of success, and at the end of the presentation, and again, I'd like to reiterate that, you know, thanks to God giving me the strength and the ability, I was able to do this and this, and God willing, we project in the future, you know, and no one's going to fire you. If you're doing a good job, and you say God, no one's going to fire you. And I don't even think your boss is going to say, stop talking about God. I don't think so. If you're doing a good job, saying, well, you know, God didn't want us to do so well this year, and you know, I don't see God helping us in the future, then they'll say that. But, you know, if you're showing that you really did a good job and the company's doing really well, you know, no one's going to really be upset if you mention God's name. But that's a person who you're close to. And the guy says, listen, you know, you got to talk about God. He says, what can I say? I love God so much. I recognize that he's helping me. And if you're doing well and profits are high, you know what the boss can say? You keep talking to God, buddy. You just keep talking to God because you have a good connection with him and we appreciate it. No one's going to be upset with that, right? So you could tell. You could tell if the person is connected or not. And the tzaddik, this tzaddik I'm sure must have been somebody must be a venerable rabbi, and you know, and lots of people come to him with their problems. And you could tell by the kind of problems people have if they're close to Hashem or not. You know, when people come to me, I could tell where if they're on the page or not. You could tell by the nature of the question. When you get these kinds of questions that, you know, where does it say, why can't I do this, you know, and these have been around for a while, you know, and I'd rather do this, or when they're not asking Shilas, then you know they're not close to Hashem. When you get the old, I know if I ask the rabbi, it's better not ask and better not, then you know they're not close to Hashem, because they don't want to know the will of Hashem, right? So it's not hard for a tzaddik to know, and even if you're not a tzaddik, to know if a person really feels this closeness to Hashem or not. So he's saying, well, how come wearing a talus all this time it ain't working? Yeah, Shelly, you had your hand up.
There's two things. First of all, you put on a talus for 12,000 times. I don't think it's possible to feel closer each time you do it, because eventually it just becomes, you just do it.
So that's the problem. That's
but
the problem.
I don't think it's humanly possible. You do it every day for 12,000 times. I don't think there's
based on what.
The other thing is,
okay, so what he's saying, so you're saying, I don't think it's humanly possible. The tzaddik is saying, the Zohar says it's a reality. Okay? The Zohar is saying it's a reality. So if that's the case, it has to be. So the fact that it isn't, not that it's not humanly possible. The Zohar says it's so, that's what he prefaces. When the Zohar says something, it's reality. You know, in other words, let's put it this way. You put on talus for 20 years, put on 6,000 times. So your question is like, well, You've got as far as the mitzvah can take you. So the question is, so why bother putting it on anymore? If it's not,
you say the bracha, you have intent and kavana, but do I feel closer today than yesterday when I put on extra time? No.
Okay, so that the Rebbe's saying.
I don't think anybody else does.
So the Rebbe's saying, why is that not happening? It should be happening. That's what he's saying. It should be happening. Let me give you a mushel on a different plane. Okay, we'll go to sports for it. Okay, you know, can a guy be a bigger expert in sports the day after watching a game than before?
That's Monday morning
quarterback. No, of course he has assimilated more information, hasn't he? Now he's a bigger expert in baseball that he's watched another game. You know, he watched an amazing play, a new shtick that they do. You know, you get more connected to the game. Every day you watch, you're more connected to baseball. No, it can't be a man. No, you're more stark. You're more. If you really love sports, if you love it, as a whole another year of statistics to remember. And I compare this year's statistics to last year's statistics, and we now have the next 25 greatest play in history. And I analyze it versus the last 100 years. Is this a greater play than that was? Was this, you know, amazing catch in the World Series better than the one 25 years ago? And you develop a deeper love for sports from it. No question about it. A real sports aficionado, you know, will love the game more and more and more by seeing it. Or a guy who plays hockey who really loves it. So it should be, that, and certainly for mitzvahs, that's what the Zohar is saying. The question he's asking is, why is it not happening? You're saying it's impossible. That's how far gone we are, Shelley.
So here's another analogy. I think the first time a guy puts on talus, not by mitzvah, but say on a bol tshuva, starting to get more into it, he puts on tefillin for the first time. I bet you he feels closer to God the first time he puts on his tefillin than the 100th time.
All right, so that's the problem. That's the problem.
It's human nature.
Okay, so the question is, how are we going to deal with human nature? But there's obviously something that's holding us back. Something you want to say in our nature or whatever's holding us back doesn't mean to say that we can't deal with it. Okay, that's what the Rebbe's saying. If the Zohar says that a mitzvah is a way to get you closer to Hashem, it means every time you do a mitzvah, it should get you a little closer. We're not talking about volumes. Baal Tshuva never put on a talus, and he puts it on for the first time. It's a big jump. From zero to anything is a big jump. So he went from zero to one. Even that's a big jump. Zero to 10. But now you're going from 10 to 10.1, to 10.2, to 10.3. But over 30 years, you should be up to 20, 30, and 40. These things, you know, you're married. As time passes, you love the person more and more and more. Hopefully that happens. So why do we not see, after so many times, you should be so connected to Hashem. You should mamish every minute you're thinking of Hashem. Why is it not happening? That's what he's asking. That's what he's asking. Yeah?
I see what the Zohar is talking about. It's a perfect person.
No.
Because it's like saying, you imagine some African walking across Africa from South Africa to Egypt barefoot with no food for 50 days or whatever some guy can do. And you can't imagine it. Okay? But it can be done. Things can be done in this world. That's what it's saying. It's possible. We can get there, but we have to go slowly. Okay, so we're trying to... It's hard for us to fathom this idea when it's so far away from us, because we have to get there one step at a time. We'd have to take off our shoes and walk barefoot for 2 years. Okay, we'd have to...
Okay, I understand what you're saying. So?
So I'm saying it's fine. It's fine. Intellectually, you can understand it.
Okay.
But to do it, it's totally something completely different.
Okay, but if it's important, that's why we said yesterday, you have to have a yearning to do it.
But even if you've got a yearning, you have to see something through, you have to do everything slowly.
So fine. So let's start slowly, but let's start. I don't fool myself to think when we finish the book we'll all be clinging to Hashem.
But a lot of these you know, they give examples of the perfect scenario. This is the perfect scenario.
Okay.
You've got Shabbos, you're in another world,
all right.
You're this, and everything's like the top end scenario.
Well, I don't even, there's different levels in the top end. There are people who get closer to God, and then there's people who get closer than that, and people get closest, but to feel something. The truth is, very few people feel very much at all about closeness to Hashem. There's different levels in closeness to Hashem. And most of us just aren't even close at all. You know, so the question is, that's what he started off by saying. This is the goal of life. Right? This is what we're here for. Is it important to you? Do you believe it? Is it important? Yes or no? When it comes to making a parnasa, everybody thinks that's the goal. And look how many years you put into making it till you make that parnasa. And how hard we work at it. Why? Because we believe it's important, right? We believe it's important. Is somebody going to go and be a doctor tomorrow? No, he's going to put in the 8 years, but he knows it's worth it because one day he's going to be a doctor, right? So you're not going to get that. But how many people put that effort? A lot of people are making that effort to be a doctor. A lot of people make that effort to be an accountant and a lawyer and a good businessman because they're all willing to put the effort in. You know, if we would put the effort into spiritual growth as much as any profession that we try to, we'd all be tzaddikim. Without question. So, you know, it's like, talk to a bunch of 8-year-olds, you know, you're going to be a doctor. Well, how's it going to take? Another 20 years. Forget it. But there are people who work for 20 years, from the age of 8 till he's 28, till he's a doctor. And if you make the effort, you will achieve this goal. So this is no less important than any other. Being a doctor is just how you make your money. It's not your life. It's what you do for a living, but it's not life. Okay, maybe some of it is. But being a yid is your life. Being close to Hashem is your life. So that's why he's been taking so much time belaboring the issue, because he knows he's going to get to these kinds of questions, Leonard. So is it important to you? Are you okay? So it'll take 5 years. Is it worth it? Is it less than taking 5 years to be an accountant? But you feel that's important, so this got to be the same importance.
Not all doctors are good doctors.
Okay, you're right, but they're doctors. And every doctor can take someone's pulse. Every doctor can analyze certain situations. Every doctor can understand a very simple ailment.
Everybody can be a doctor.
Well,
calling a knife, which has been established.
Okay, to make a parnasa. So to make a parnasa, everybody's going to make a parnasa. Either it doesn't matter. Everybody works on Parnassa, mostly. Okay, there's some bums, but most people are working on Parnassa. Okay, so there's many ways in Avodas Hashem. You're over scrutinizing the analogy. Everybody works hard for Parnassa. Everybody in this Kehillah is running out after davening because they have to make that Parnassa because that's the most important thing in their lives. Can't stay till the end of the Yom. I'm not blaming anybody, but one thing's for sure. Oh, it's important to people. It's important, right? So one's a doctor and one's a lawyer and one's a businessman and one's a that. But they're all making their best efforts.
When we finish this book and it starts to read Torah, this particular that this year, will all the other on the same level?
No, but you'll all be on different levels of closeness to Hashem. If you employ what the tzaddik says, you will be on different levels of closeness to Hashem. Not all of them, same thing, Olam Haba. We're all going to get to Olam Haba. We're all going to be in the same spot? No. Some have more closeness to them, some have less, but they're at least in the ball game, for goodness sake. So the tzaddik is saying there's some people who aren't even in the ball game.
So he's addressing it to those who aren't in the ball game.
Right. And those who know the secret, they know the secret. And they're working on going further and further along. But most typical Orthodox Jews are not in this ball game. They've lost the forest because of the trees. If they're even interested in the trees, there's some who just aren't even in the forest at all. You know, okay. All right, so we're in the middle of Yud Zayin. Okay, we're going to have to finish Yud Zayin tomorrow. Okay, so we got a couple more lines and another analogy. Mirtz Hashem, hopefully tomorrow we'll be able to get through the conclusion and summary of this first part of the book.